right. Thanks, Marcos, and good morning, everyone. My name is Haryadi Gunawi, and I'll be presenting our work on Squig, a declarative file system checker. And this work is done with my colleague, Abhishek Rajimwali, and our advisors, Andrea and Ramshar Pachiduso. So today, users are storing increasingly massive amount of data in file systems, so the reliability of file systems cannot be further stated. Well, however, we also know that until today, file system images still get corrupted, and this is because of just the many problems that can occur within the system. For example, this corruption can be caused by low-level hardware errors, such as worn-out disk media or worn-out mechanical components, or it can also be caused by software problems, such as bugs in the device driver, bugs in the firmware, or even bugs within the file system itself. So this corruption actually leads the file system into an inconsistent state. So we need to repair this inconsistency as soon as possible, or otherwise the file systems might not be usable or might not be fully working properly or even might can cause more damage to itself. So the first questions we ask is, who should repair these corruptions? Who should repair this inconsistency? Well, it turns out that many people think that journaling has all solutions to inconsistency problem. Actually, it doesn't. So what journaling does, it only says that rather than writing data to final locations, I will write data to write a head log. And if that's what journaling does, well, basically, it only prevents write inconsistency due to system crashes only. But again, as I mentioned before, there are many other problems that can make a file system to corrupt. So if journaling doesn't help, does file system repair itself online? Does file system repair these corruptions? Well, in the past, what we have seen is that file systems do not have enough machinery to detect these corruptions or even to recover from the corruptions. Most of the time, what happens is actually when the file system detects an inconsistency, it will just hit a panic button or remount the file system as read only, leaving the corruptions not being repaired at all. So this implies that there must be a final utility that should repair all these problems. And there's a such utility, it's called FSCK, which stands for Offline File System Checker. So FSCK is a trusted utility that should perform the last line of defense to fix all kind of corruptions and bring the file system into a consistent state. It's almost a must-have utility. Some file system, XFS, originally once claimed that it doesn't need FSCK ever, because, again, just trust with this journaling approach. But again, at the end, it deploys FSCK because, again, journaling doesn't help all the inconsistency problem. So FSCK is widely deployed today. All modern file systems that we know of, Windows NTFS, Linux EXE2, EXE3, XFS, and many others deploy their own FSCK. So there's a broad need to have a fully reliable file system checkers. Well, unfortunately, file system checkers are very complex, and there are two reasons for that. The first one is that FSCK has a big task. It needs to read all file system metadata and turn any corrupt image to a consistent image. So it needs to find any possible corruptions. For example, it needs to check if there's a corruption that leads to a data block being shared by two inodes. So actually, there's nothing much that we can do on this first reason, because this is just the thing that an FSCK has to do. Now, the problem why FSCKs are very complex is because how they are implemented today. Most file system checkers that we know of are written in low-level system language such as C, which is very hard to reason about. So the result is the implementations are so large and complex. Just for example here, EXE2 FSCK performs like 150 checks in 16,000 lines of code. XFS FSCK performs like 340 checks in 22,000 lines of code. And if you really look into the code, what you just find is just hundreds of cluttered if check statements. The bottom line is that this FSCK code is untouchable. What I mean by that is that this is a very crucial code that should repair your file system. If someone doesn't know what the code is doing, that person usually is afraid to make any fixes because it might lead to more problem. So given this complex implementations, we ask two questions and we answer these questions in the talk and in the paper. First, are current checkers really reliable? Do they really fix your file system as we expect them to do? And if not, how should we build robust checkers? So to answer the first questions, we analyze a popular file system checker, E2FSCK. This is a FSCK for EXE2 file systems. And basically, we find numerous problems. Just a summary here. First, we found that FSCK sometimes performed an inconsistent repair. What I mean by that, remember that FSCK is trusted to bring your file systems into a consistent state. However, in some cases, in some corruptions, actually lead the FSCK to make a wrong repair, then make the file system becomes more inconsistent, hence become more unreadable. In also some cases, we found that FSCK performs consistent repair, but not correct repair. Again, what I mean by this is FSCK should try to reconstruct the corrupt image to match the original file system image as much as possible. However, in some cases, we find that FSCK accidentally deletes valid directory entries, and sometimes it accidentally loses a huge number of files. So again, even with this kind of mistakes, the resulting file system is consistent, but again, the resulting file system is far from matching the original file system. So given this problem, what we ask is, how should we design robust file system checkers? And the great lesson that we have learned is that complexity is the enemy of reliability. FSCK already has a big task, and we join it with such a bad design. At the end, what we have is unnecessary complexity, which eventually leads to unreliability. So what we need here is a higher level approach where we can simply describe the systems. So in this work, basically, we have introduced SQIC, which stands for SQL-based FSCK, a robust file system checker. So in this work, we use a declarative query language to write hundreds of checks that must be performed. So as a result, the high level of the intent of the checker can be clearly specified because they're just declarative. Or just put simply, we just need to write fewer lines of code with SQIC. And we have performed several evaluations, and we show that we achieved the greatest result here, where we have simplified E2FSCK in the form of only 150 queries. And you can compare that with the original 16,000 lines of C code of cluttered checks. But more than that, we'll show later that how we can provide great flexibility and still maintain a reasonable performance. So this is the outline of my talk. In the next part of my talk, I'll show you in more details the problem that we found in E2FSCK, and then the solution to that, which is SQIC, and then I evaluate SQIC, and then I conclude. So let me first again remind the task of E2FSCK, for example. It needs to cross-check all EXE2 metadata and needs to find any corruptions and inconsistency and fix it. For example, it needs to check whether an indirect pointer should not point to the superblock. It also needs to check another kind of check. For example, it needs to confirm that a subdirectory should only be accessible from one directory and many other more checks. So in order to understand the complex runtime behavior of E2FSCK, what we did is we inject single corruption one at a time, and we try to observe how E2FSCK try to repair these single corruptions. Now, to reduce the corruption space, what we did is we only corrupt on these pointers. What we mean by this is we take a pointer, and we make the pointer to point up to a block in another location on a disk, or we make a pointer to point to another element on a disk. For example, we corrupt an indirect pointer to point to the superblock rather than pointing to an indirect block. We corrupt a directory entry to point to another directory and many other corruptions. So just a side note, usually a corrupt pointer can be easily cleared to zero. But what I'm going to give you is two examples how this simple repair is actually wrongly done. So here in the first example, I'm going to show you an inconsistency, specifically an out-of-order repair. So here what we have is an inode, and an inode has an indirect pointer that should point to an indirect block. But there could be a corruption that says that this indirect pointer accidentally points to a superblock. So in this case, what an ideal FSCK would do is just to perform the validity of to check the validity of the pointer. In this case, it finds that this pointer is invalid, so I'm just going to clear that to zero. But let's say that the indirect pointer is indeed valid. It points to a valid indirect block. Well, in this case, it needs to perform another check, which is checking the content of the indirect block. Well, the content of an indirect block is just basically pointers to data block. So what this check would do is go through its entry one by one and find if there's any entry that point to somewhere outside the file system range. For example, the third entry here looks like a garbage. So what it will do, it will just clear the entry to zero. So in general, what we have here, what an ideal FSCK would do is to check the validity of the pointer before checking the content of the block that is pointed to. So let's see what E2FSCK does. So again, here we have an inode, and we have a corrupt indirect pointer that accidentally points to a super block. Rather than checking the validity of the pointer, what E2FSCK does, it assumes that this pointer is correct. So it will perform this second check, which just check the content of the indirect block. So it will assume that the super block is actually an indirect block. So it will go through its entry and find a bad entry. And of course, the super block doesn't like an indirect block. So it will accidentally repair some of these entries to zero. So what's happening here, we accidentally damage the super block. Well, at the end later, it will perform the check on the validity of the pointers and find out that, oops, turns out that the indirect pointer points to a super block. So it will just clear the indirect pointer to zero. But however, this is too late because the super block has been damaged, and FSCK actually makes the file system unmountable. Okay. So again, this is the problem with this because the implementation is so complex, and such an out-of-order scheme is very possible in current implementation. Now, in this second example, what I'm going to show is where E2FSCK performs a consistent but incorrect repair. So let's say in normal case we have something like this, where we have a directory A1 and A1 has a subdirectory A2, and we have a directory B1 and B1 has a subdirectory B2. Again, we could have a corruption such that A1's entry accidentally points to B2. So B2 has two parents here. Well, fortunately, EXE2 maintains enough redundant information about the true parent-child relation. So in this case, actually in its directory, it maintains the dot-dot pointer that points to the actual parent. So B2 says that, hey, you know, B1 is really my daddy here. So A1 is the false parent. So if we have this enough redundant information, what an ideal FSCK would do is to retain the correct parent and child relation. And then we just simply say to A1, I'm sorry, you're the false parent, so I'm just going to clear your entry. And that's what an ideal FSCK would do, and A2 is actually put in the lost and found directory. So let's see what E2FSCK does in this case. So again, we have enough redundant information to know what is true and what is wrong. Well, in E2FSCK, actually what happened is that it will pick the inode with the lower inode number as the actual parent. So in this case, A1 has accidentally a lower inode number than B1, so E2FSCK says, okay, A1, you're the correct parent. So this is accrual because B2 says, no, I mean, A1 is not my daddy, B1 is my daddy, but E2FSCK still says, I'm sorry, B2, you must accept that A1 is your new parent. And B1 is just a sad daddy because he just lost his kid. So it's a sad kidnapping problem. Okay. And again, this is the reason because E2FSCK does not use all available information to perform correct repair. So in summary, we found a class of four classes of problems, and I've talked about two of them, inconsistent and information incomplete repair. You can read the paper if you want to understand what I mean by policy inconsistent and insecure repair. So this fault injection experiment is done by my colleague, Abhishek, and Abhishek found that E2FSCK in general does not handle all corruptions. And my poor colleague sometimes get this error warning. Like warning, programming bug in E2FSCK or some bonehead, my colleague, is checking a mounted live file system. So here's my colleague Abhishek, and I can assure you that he is not checking a mounted live file system. So I think he's not a bonehead though. So in general we found that this is not a simple implementation bug. It's just difficult to combine all available information in current designs. It's difficult to ensure correct ordering. It's hard to find missing repairs. It's hard to add new repairs. So we need solutions to fix this problem. So that's the next part of my talk. I'm going to describe SQuIC, our solution to the problem. So before going into the solutions, we need to understand the basic important properties of a file system checker. A typical file system checker usually performs hundreds of checks, and these checks are not simple ones. Most of them are complex. Here's the illustrations, a taxonomy of cross-checks done in E2FSCK. For example here, we must perform 63, this is simple checks, that can be done within a single instance of the same structure. And this is simple, but the rest are complex. For example, we must perform 11 cross-checks that must be made across multiple instances of the same structure. We must perform 12 cross-checks across single instance of different structures. And finally, we must perform 35 cross-checks across multiple instances of multiple structures. But more than that, all these checks and all the corresponding repairs must be repaired correctly. So the key point here is that the basic task of FSCK is already complex, and we do not want to make it more complex. So again, the solution to this problem, we adhere to our lessons that the complexity is the enemy of reliability. So in Squeak, we use a declarative query language to write lots of checks because first, it is declarative, meaning the high-level intent of the checks will be clear, as we will see about this soon. But second, a declarative query language has been built from day one to cross-check massive amount of information. So this is a perfect fit for this problem because what we want to do is we want to peruse all information stored in the file system image to make a correct repair. So we have achieved some important goals. The first one is we have simplified, again, E2FSCK in the form of 150 queries, and you can compare that with the 16,000 lines of C code. And again, simplicity is just a friend of reliability. Each check in the form of a query is very easy to understand. We only need to write less than 10 lines of code for each query. But more than that, it also provides flexibility. We can plug in and plug on different queries easily. What I mean by that, you could imagine if we have a corruption, you can try running different repairs by just running a different set of queries, and then you can pick the repairs that you like. But other than that, we can also provide different modes of FSCK, like fast one and slow one, and so on. So that's about Squeak. So how do we use Squeak? Well, we just take a file system image. This can be a corrupt file system image. And then what Squeak would do is just it would scan all file system metadata and load all file system metadata into database tables. So these database tables are temporary. They get created fresh whenever Squeak starts running. So the idea here is all file system metadata resides in the database tables, which implies that all information that we need to cross-check and all information that we need to repair is in the database tables. So in that case, what Squeak would do is very simple. It would just run these checks and repairs in the form of queries on the database tables rather than on the file system image. And if there's any modifications, we just flush the modifications to the disk, and we can delete the tables because the tables are just temporary. So I'm going to just focus on the checker part, and I'm going to show you how we can write two checks in a very simple manner in Squeak. So in this first example of declarative checks, let's just do a simple check where we only cross-check within a single instance of a structure. So in this case, let's try to find a block bitmap that is not located within its block group. So just a side note, this is how E2FSCK finds problem. It explicitly tried to find any explicit corruptions, and they have like hundreds of this kind of check. So here's what you're going to get in E2FSCK. Basically, this is supposed to be a very simple check. This is just a range checking. But as you can see, the logic of the check, which I mark in color here, is buried within its implementation details. And here's what you get in Squeak. As simple as the logic is very obvious. Its group descriptors maintains a start block and an end block, and this query will return to you block bitmap that does not reside within its range. And so the range checking can be clearly specified, and it's so different than the current implementation. Now, in this second example, I'm going to give you a little bit more complex check where we cross-check multiple instances of the same structure. So in this case, let's try to find the actual false parents, that is, directory entries that point to a subdirectory that already belongs to another directory. In this case, we must read all directory entries in the directory data blocks, And just to remind you, this check is wrongly implemented in the current E2 FSCK, which leads to the kidnapping problem. So again, here's what you get in E2 FSCK. Well, basically, no one can understand what this code is doing unless you are really the person who write this code. So let's just throw away this implementation. It's a wrong implementation anyway. So let's do the actual check here. So again, the whole idea is just to find the false parents. So with Squeak, we can write a query like this. First, what we do is we need to scan all directory entries. To do that, we omit directory entry number 1 and directory entry number 2 because directory entry number 1 is the dot entry and directory entry number 2 is the dot dot entry that points to the parent. So we don't need those two entries. So here, basically, we will get all directories. And after we get all directories, what we need is to build a parent and child relationship. So here we have P saying that C is my child. And in the second selection here, we also say that, hey, C says P is my daddy, right? And it's also obvious because C selects the second entry, which is, remember, the dot dot entry, which has a pointer to the actual parent. So after this second selection, what we have is a true parent-child relation. But the query also finds another false parent, F, which is different than P, and F also says that C is my child. So in this case, we just simply return the wrong parents correctly, and then we can repair this false parent appropriately. So as you can see, this is can be simply done. So that's all about declarative checks. I'm going to briefly mention about declarative repairs, because declarative checks are just part of the problem. We still need to fix the corruptions. We still need to run declarative repairs. So declarative repairs can be done in two ways. Some repairs are so simple, it just updates some fields of a data structures. So in this case, a repair can be write in the form of an update query that looks something like this. We just set some field of a table to a new value, and we also set the dirty bit so that we can reflect this update later to the disk. Some repairs are more complex because it just simply needs more operations to do the repair. For example, we need to reconnect an orphan directory to the lost and found directory. Well, in this case, a repair is written in a series of queries, and we just use C code to combine all these queries. But the point is still that all repairs are still written in declarative manners, and C code is only used for connecting them. So the final part of my talk, I'm going to evaluate Squeak. So we evaluate Squeak in four axes of evaluation here: complexity, reliability, flexibility, and performance. So in terms of complexity, again, we have simplified E2 FSCK in the form of 150 queries just for a total of 1,100 lines of SQL statements. And this is much more simple than the original implementation, which is written in 16,000 lines of C code. And in terms of reliability, basically, we have injected lots of hundreds of corruption scenarios, and Squeak so far passes and repairs all of them. And in terms of flexibility, it's so easy to add new checks and repairs. The whole idea is just you plug in new queries, and you plug out the queries that you don't like, or plug out wrong queries, and so on. And we enable different versions of E2 FSCK. And in terms of performance, we introduce some optimizations that you can read from the table. But overall, here's the comparison. So here we have the total runtime of Squeak versus E2 FSCK. So on the x-axis here, we have four different file systems with different file sizes. For example, we have 1 gigabyte file systems, we have 10 gigabyte file system, 100 and 800 gigabyte file systems. We fill this file system half full. The y-axis shows the total runtime for both E2 FSCK and Squeak normalized to E2 FSCK. So here's the numbers for E2 FSCK. All the bars are at 1 because it's normalized to itself. But the numbers are in seconds. So here we have 7 seconds, 65 seconds, 200 seconds, and like half an hour. So in general, what we find, here's the numbers for Squeak. In general, what we find is that the first generation of Squeak implemented with MySQL stays within a reasonable performance. It stays within the 1.5 times of E2 FSCK. There can be future optimizations that can be made. For example, we can perform hierarchical checks where the top level of the checks just try to see if there's any problem that it needs to find. And if there is, then it will perform more detailed checks later. So we kind of try to make the common case faster here. Or we can also try to do concurrent queries. And we haven't really explored these optimizations. But in general, I guess we are quite happy that we have provided simplicity without sacrificing performance greatly. So in conclusions, basically, the great lesson here is that complexity is the enemy of reliability. Recovery code is already complex. The basic test is already complex. And we don't want to add more complexity to it. So when we build Squeak, basically our principle is always to build recovery tools with a high-level approach. And finally, I think I conclude that my colleague is not a bonehead. Okay, thank you, and I'll take questions now.
Hi, Jeff Canning from Harvey Mudd College. Just a small question. You mentioned in your paper that you keep the MySQL database in a RAM disk of half a gigabyte. And I'm just curious, what is sort of the proportionate size of, you know, given a file system of size X, how big a RAM disk are you going to need to hold that database?
Right. So in our experience, we have this almost 1 terabyte file systems, and the metadata still fits in the half gigabyte of memory. But I mean, we are not really constrained with that. We can have a big memory. But yeah, for 1 terabyte, it still fits half a gigabyte of memory in terms of the metadata.
And is that a full 1 terabyte file system or an empty 1 terabyte?
It's half full.
Okay.
It's half full, yeah. So we have like 300,000 of files in there. So a huge number of files.
Hi, Margot Seltzer from Harvard. So the database guys are going to be thrilled that the operating systems community is finally learning about the wonders of SQL. Two questions. So you keep comparing the 150 SQL statements versus the 16,000 lines in FSCK, but there's that scanner loader thing that actually has to understand the whole disk format.
Right. So the 16,000 lines of code is the core check. Even in E2 FSCK, they have another 14,000 lines of code that will scan the disk, right? So in terms of the scanner, we do not make any declarative approach. We just almost do the same thing. We just try to perform a smart scan on the file system metadata.
Okay. And then the other question is, some of the examples that you mentioned required ordering the checks. And so is there the same kind of need in the SQL statements that you actually have to order the SQL statements correctly to make sure that you do the right repairs?
Right. So we haven't really explored how to perform automatic ordering. What our claim here is that its check is basically an independent query by itself. So if you have like 150 checks and you know what each check is doing, you can simply kind of order these queries in better way than the current implementation, where in C implementation, all these checks are very cluttered and kind of depend on each other.
Hi, Chris Oscaramanolis, VMware. Two quick questions. First, the results you presented, do they include the performance, the times for scanning and flashing?
Yeah. Not for flashing, just for total scanning and loading the database tables and performing the checks. Okay. Right, so we assume that you can assume if the file system is correct, we still need to read everything and cross-check everything. We do not include the flashing part.
Yep. And again, about flashing. Mm-hmm. Could your flashing introduce some failures, when it is interrupted you're flashing? Can you handle those? Are the same that would come up or new ones that you introduced?
We haven't really, again, explored it, but we found interesting problem in E2 FSCK that E2 FSCK does not use a journaling to flush even metadata that has been updated. So you could imagine even in E2 FSCK itself, if E2 FSCK is kind of updating the metadata on the disk and it crashes, the next time you run E2 FSCK, it won't be the same again. Maybe the metadata has been crashed. But I guess the point here, if we have this much more simple design, we can hope that we can make kind of an independent flusher where we just take any updates from the database tables and we can write it in a more in a journaling approach manner. Okay.
Brian Ford, MPI SWS. I really like this, and I like sort of declarative approaches to systems programming in general. I'm wondering, though, it seems like you've chosen a sort of approach toward this declarative. Your approach is to declare the what
the file.
You're searching for what's wrong in a file system and how to fix it, whereas it seems like there's another level of abstraction that you would really like to extract declaratively too, which is what the file system really should look like.
Right.
You know, yeah, what the goal is that you're trying to reach or that you're trying to check for, and that level of abstraction could presumably be used for like actually helping to validate the file system itself or do other interesting things. I wonder if you can comment on that, what you've thought
about that. Yeah, there's another world where we have kind of this model and we check the file system depending on the model. And actually, we started that way and we tried to make our own like declarative language, and we find that why not we just use declarative language, again, because the idea that there's just so much information that you need to produce, right? So in that case, we feel that declarative language might be more suitable, and it's just basically less work because database community has done a great job in making this ready for you. But yeah, I mean, the only problem is that in your mind, when you're doing all these checks, you need to think the otherwise. You need to find violations rather than trying to write the actual model. Yep. Thanks. So that's, I guess, my comment.
Right, let's get moving.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.